Well, we want to welcome you, those of you that are joining in with us online today. This is Chris Green, my wife.
Carol Green.
Ah, she said it right on cue. You can turn on the microphone. Say it again. Glad to have everybody here with us today. Today is another one of those times where there's some few things that we want to go back and look at and read. And as we get started today, we handed out something that I want to read to you just as we're getting started. And from there, you'll be able to follow the progression of where our thoughts are headed for this morning. I want to read to you something that begins with, "We launched the ministry," and then I'll take it from there before turning it over to my wife. I want to read this to you. You can just follow along. "We launched the ministry, or this ministry, which began as a local church in September 2004 with the foundation laying aspects of weekly prayer and church planters training. We also ministered in a weekly food outreach, participated in citywide prayer gatherings, and spoke in several local church services. We went public as a local fellowship in March of 2005, and each year we celebrated the anniversary of our first public gathering in March. But in 2004, we went back to celebrating the anniversary of the ministry's official launch in September. In the years that followed, meaning after our 2005 launch, in 2006 through 2009, the ministry focus shifted to prayer and building families. And we began reaching out to people who don't attend a church by implementing informal settings, using internet technology, and utilizing social media. And today we have somewhere between 400 and 500 social media followers and supporters. And after 11 years here in Harrisburg, our support base is 67% come from across the United States and around the world, and 28% is from our hometown, St. Louis, and we only have 5% saturation into Harrisburg area in particular. That speaks volumes all by itself, that 95% of our support base and folks that are following us and all of that are outside of this region. Today, we continue to lead Urban Life as a family-focused prayer and internet outreach that equips believers to do the work of the ministry. Believers of the Way, as it was originally called, the Way of Christ, meet here in a multimedia suite, or they meet in their homes for worship, and prayer, fellowship, conversation, and practical instruction that teaches them how to give their time, talents, and treasure into the fulfillment of the Great Commandment and the Great Commission. And I won't get into all of that. That'll be for another time. A unique strategy, God gave us a unique strategy of offering a family atmosphere with engaging conversation, and provides the preparation and the tools that empowers believers to minister to their families and friends. And that's been the focus, to really build people to be able to minister to their families and their friends. We believe change can come to communities with the love and power of God flowing through households and families every day, not just the Sunday thing or the Wednesday night thing that happens in churches. Urban Life is dedicated to the restoration of nations through the healing of hearts and homes. Since 2004, we have networked with and ministered to many with the goal to build people who will bring the healing of God to hurting hearts and homes. And we desire to establish a network of house churches. And that's the difference with what we've been trying to do these past 6 or 7 years in particular. We've really been trying to establish house churches or home churches that can work together to reach their communities across America and the world through the coordinated efforts of an Urban Life Family Center. And you'd have to go to our website to look and check out how the Family Center works out and what that vision really is about. Now let's talk about what we're going to be presenting to you today. And for that, go to our PowerPoint here. It'll come up on the screen for those of you that are watching. We're in the year of what's called the Shemitah, and I got this information, I found this on Shabbat.org, so I'm not a rabbi or anything like that. I'm certainly not an expert in Hebrew, Jewish, Jewish and Hebrew culture. So I found this information, and because I'm always trying to stay in tune and in touch with how the Lord is directing us as a church family and how it connects with His calendar. And you can clearly see in the Old Testament how God established a calendar for His people. He established times and seasons for them to honor. And one of them is the season what's called Shemitah. The Shemitah is a year. It comes up every 7 years, just like we have a Sabbath day. Shemitah is the Sabbath year. And during the Shemitah year, it required that everybody cancel debt. Now, I know here in America, we always think about our debts being canceled, but the emphasis was on you canceling somebody else's debt. Yeah, America, we hear Shemitah, yeah, all my bills gonna be paid, but that was not the focus. The focus is on you being the person who does the canceling. And the reason why that's important is because one of the things that kind of got people in a bind in this culture and among God's people was who was going to be the first to cancel debt. And so they got to the point where many were no longer honoring Shemitah because they kept waiting for somebody else to do it first. So the emphasis, when you think of Shemitah, and even when people talk about the year of Jubilee, remember the church was celebrating the year of Jubilee. Yeah, all this stuff is going to be happening. The emphasis is on you being going first. Will you cancel debt first? Wait a minute. How do I know if I cancel somebody else's debt, if my debtors are going to cancel mine? And that's the way the Lord wants us to look at this. It's not about what somebody else does for you. It's about us being the first one to make the first step and cancel debt. The other thing that happened during the Shemitah year was this was a time when God's people were required, if they owned land and they had, you know, obviously fields and harvests and vineyards, they had to open it up for everybody to partake of. They couldn't harvest it and sell it. They had to open up their fields for everybody to eat. Wait a minute, cancel all my debt and then take the one thing that helps me make money and support myself and give it all away. We just sung this morning during our worship and our morning glory prayer and worship. I give myself away. I give myself away so you can use me. And so that's not just a nice song to sing during worship time. God actually expects us to live this way, to live being a giving people. And the reason why I keep putting emphasis on things like that is because here in American culture, especially on Christian television, we have literally created an atmosphere in the church as a whole. I'm not saying every church feels this way, but as a whole in our country, we created this very selfish, self-centered atmosphere where it's always about us getting blessed and us receiving. And that's not the way Jesus taught us to be. And so, of course, when you look at what has happened, the dynamics in America among our what we call fivefold ministry leaders who are supposed to be equipping the body, fivefold, quote fivefold, they're supposed to be equipping the body to do the work of the ministry. What they've been doing is equipping the body to be a bunch of selfish, spoiled brats who only come to God when they want something. And that's because many of those who were teaching this stuff, that's how they are. They were really in it for the money. And so if you're in it for the money and you're in it to be blessed, then what are you gonna do? You're gonna tell people to give, to bless you. But what happens is while you're teaching people to give, to bless you, you are also inadvertently teaching people to give only for the purpose of being blessed. And that was not the way God established this thing right from the beginning. Don't mean to get too far off track, but this is important for understanding Shemitah. Even when God established the returning of the tithes and bringing offerings, You have to go all the way back to where that began, when Jacob said, God, I'm going to give you 10% of this land, which you have promised me. It was a response. It was a voluntary response to a God's promise. And so God established it as law years later to hold his people to that vow that Jacob had made, that I'm going to give 10% of this land and of the produce of this land. And so all I'm getting at is it was a voluntary commitment that Jacob made in response to God's promise. And so he wasn't saying, I'm going to give if you bless me. He wasn't saying, I'm going to give to get you to bless me. That's what I'm trying to say. He wasn't saying, I'm going to give to get you to bless me. He said, I'm giving because you promised me you are. This is my response to you. So we didn't taught people for years. Think about it, 30, 40, 50 years. The reason why we give is to get God to bless us. And that's not how it started. It started as, I'm giving because you have blessed me. Wow, changes everything. So when you come to Shemitah, come on, let's thank the Lord. Say, yeah. So you come to Shemitah and you're saying, I'm opening up my land and opening up my crops and all of my resources, and I'm giving. I'm giving. Why? Because God has blessed me. Yeah. Wow. And then the other thing that they did was, as I mentioned, they had a moment, they had a time where they were really required to not till the land, not cultivate the land, to give the crops away. And here's another thing, they had to refocus. They had, during that time, that whole year, when they're not cultivating, they're not sowing, they're not harvesting. And I didn't realize this until I read this article. They were supposed to take that entire year and do nothing but focus on God's will and his purpose for their life. They were supposed to go to synagogue and really dig into the what they would know as the Torah, and just really study and get rooted and grounded. In other words, I'm not going to focus on my life, my desires, my career, nothing. I'm just going to focus totally on what God wants me to do. Wow. Isn't that something? So it's a refocusing. Now, during that time, what they had to do was, since you go, well, how do they support themselves? Well, God had made a promise to them. And you can go to the next slide. During that time that they were taking a break from farming, he actually gave them a word. He said, for 6 years you shall, this is from Leviticus 25, verses 3-6. It says, for 6 years you shall sow your field, and for 6 years you shall prune your vineyard and gather in its produce. But in the seventh year, the land shall have a complete rest, a Sabbath to the Lord. You shall not sow your field, you shall not prune your vineyard, nor shall you reap the aftergrowth of your harvest. And the produce of the Sabbath of the land shall be yours to eat, for you, for your male and female servants, and for your hired worker and the residents who live with you. Wow. So during the Shemitah year, the residents of the land of Israel must completely stop cultivating their field, relinquish all personal ownership of their field, give the stuff away. And this was really called the release of the land. This was all about moving and really into a new level of trust in God. Because like, okay, if I'm doing all of this, how am I supposed to take care of myself? And so today we're putting into practice this third aspect of the Shemitah, which is in the seventh year, you will not sow, you will not gather in your own produce. Leviticus 25 verses 21-22 says, I, meaning God, will command my blessing for you in the sixth year, and it will yield produce for 3 years. So in other words, God said, I'm going to cause the sixth year to produce so much that it'll carry you through the seventh year, the eighth year, and the ninth year. Isn't that amazing? Yeah, so you're supposed to, and he said, until the ninth year, until the arrival of its crops, here's the key phrase, you will eat the old crop. And so what we've been doing this year, in this Shemitah year, is we've been going back and eating of our old crop. What do I mean by old crop? these prophetic words that God's been giving us, the teachings that he's had us going through about family and building family and fighting for our family, rebuilding the walls, recognizing the attacks of the enemy, all the stuff that God's been bringing to us these last few years. He's told us to go back, reteach it, eat from those old crops. Look at the prophetic words that he's spoken to us, to give the prophetic instruction that he's giving us, and eat that again. And I'm amazed every time we go back and look at prophetic words, especially when we do that. When we go back and look at the prophetic words that God has given to us, I'm amazed at all the stuff that I've forgotten. Because again, this is America, and we're always looking for the new word, the new thing. Give me something new. And God says, no, every 7 years you need to stop. Stop and eat from the old crop. Go back and look at what I've told you. Rehearse it, refocus, get focused all over again. What have I said? Are you walking in that instruction? Every time again, we look at these videos and things that God has said, I'm amazed at the things that I forgot. I'm not doing that. I remember this part and this part, but I forgot that part. And it seems like every time the one thing I forgot is some key thing that was very, very important. You get discouraged. It does get very discouraging. Especially when we are moving and operating in a city where, according to our current statistics, we only have 5% penetration of people even knowing that we're here, but 95% of our audience online and everywhere is from outside of this region. So it gets very discouraging until you go back and you look at the word of the Lord. What did he say for us to do? And so this is one of those times. So I want you to go back to Song Show and play the video clip that says prophetic, I believe it says prophetic review. These are words that came to us back in 2011 and 2012. One was my bishop and the other was our dear friend and brother, Pastor Frank King.
Prepare for the shifting, for you're now ready to begin. For many will come from all walks of life to build. For there are a people yet ready to come. Some whom the Lord will relocate. They will be relocated to this emerging region. For Harrisburg is an emerging city. It's a city that is on the horizon. For you will complement, not compete with Philadelphia. For the Lord has purpose for that place as well. Do not compare, but be prepared for what the Lord desires to do here in this emerging city. You will be an emerging city in this nation. For many will come to build. For many leaders will come to glean. You must get your hearts ready, and many will come to live. Likewise, do not compare yourselves to others. For the call that is on you is unique to you and to his purpose for this generation. The Lord says you are forerunners. For the Lord has given you the grace to survive the pressure. Now you will thrive. You are moving out of survival mode into thriving mode. For the Lord will place you in the center of this growing region. Wait on the Lord. And Father, we thank you today for your mercy and your grace. We thank you, Lord, that you have sent Chris and Carol to this region for such a time as this. We thank you for the supernatural enablement and the power of God that is resident on the inside of them now. We thank you, Lord, that they shall prosper in the days ahead. Lord, we declare increase. We declare increase over this couple's life, over this body, over this people. We declare your favor. Lord, I thank you that even now that there shall be acceleration of your favor upon their lives, of your grace upon their lives, of increase upon their lives. We thank you, Lord, that even as that there was a breaking forth in Carol's mother, I thank you, Lord, that there's a breaking forth that's coming right now for this house and for the people of God in this house. We thank you, Lord, for thriving, coming forth, for thriving. You shall forget the years, no longer be bound by the failures of the past and the missteps of the past. For even in the missteps, the Lord has ordered your steps for such a time as this. And we thank you, Lord, for the sons. We thank you for Johnny and David and for Chris. Thank you, Lord, for the grace that is upon them. We thank you, Lord, for divine direction over their lives. We thank you for your mercy and your peace. And Lord, we thank you for these great people. We thank you, Lord, for the rest and the anointing upon these, your wonderful people of God. Strengthen them now in your will, in your purpose. May your name be great. Let your anointing rest upon them. Thank you, Lord, that they shall walk in all of your ways, and that they shall fulfill the plan and the purpose. Thank you, Lord, that this is the day of new beginnings. And Lord, I thank you that no weapon formed against them shall prosper. Every tongue that rises up against them in judgment, they shall condemn. For this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and your righteousness is their reward. We bless them now in the seventh year. We bless them now. We call you blessed. We call you favored of God. And we speak increase in every area in Jesus' name. Amen.
For the Lord says you live in a city and a culture where people will hear the personal testimony sooner than they will the preached word. In a building. And yet, it's as though I see blinders on many of your eyes. Blinders even on some of your hearts. You do not see the value of your testimony and the significance of that which the Lord has purposed to do simply as you open your mouth and speak. This is what the Lord has done for me. In a similar way that some of you shared tonight, that's all it's going to take. You really need to begin to say, God has done a great thing in my life. Do you have 5 minutes so I can tell you about it? And I want you to come and experience what the Lord is doing in my life, even with the family, the spiritual family that he's called me to be a part of. So, Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that your grace would just continue to be ministered through those that are here, and we thank you for bringing to pass what you have purposed to do for your glory and your honor. Thank you, God.
And when Chris and Carol moved here, because I knew Carol was from Harrisburg, we've just from the beginning, our hearts were knitted to the people that had not even come yet. We just knew God had sent them here. And when they started telling us about the people that were coming, we just loved you. We didn't know. I saw from the video there were people that were there that are not here now, but we just loved you because we knew God had sent you. And just to sit here and hear you all talk about what God has done in your hearts, I'm just overwhelmed. I could just weep because I just thank God for you, for what God is doing in you. It is phenomenal just to hear your testimonies. And I know you don't see it, but we see it. You all are a beautiful group of people. You're beautiful. And I just love you. Pastor Ray is my brother, but he's also my pastor as well. And everybody in St. Louis said to tell you all hello, and they love you. Literally, I had people on Facebook sending messages to me, tell everybody in Harrisburg hello. So hello from St. Louis and Tulsa, Oklahoma, and California, and Texas. Hello to you. They love you. People love you and are praying for your success.
But I'm telling you, I applaud the tenacity of your leaders. The never give up spirit. That's going to be in the DNA of this house. Because what your leaders are, you are. It's in the DNA of this house. There are going to be people that are going to come in this house and go, I don't know why I can't give up. Well, there's a reason why you can't give up, because that's the way your leaders are. You will have that never give up spirit. You may get, hit with a couple of blows here and there, but you know what? It's like a good fighter. You go, that's all right. That was a good shot. You acknowledge when you get hit real good, don't you? That was a good shot. It hurt, I didn't like it. And I know you meant to knock me out with that one. But guess what? I'm still standing. Guess what? I'm still moving forward. I'm still going to do what God called me to do.
The Lord says, receive this strength. There's an understanding that's been imparted in your heart. There's a mighty army being built for the will of God, for the purposes of God. And as this expression of the family of God, receive the strength to do what God has called you to do.
So now we just want to share one of the emails that was sent to us in July of 2011. And the title of it is Under the Radar.
You have that one.
And I did, have a copy of that. Under the Radar. This week, we received a couple of emails from one member of our intercessory prayer team, which consists of people that span the entire United States, from the East to the West Coast. We are sharing it with you because it encouraged us so much that we felt you needed to read this and apply it to your life and your family as well. And it reads, "The Lord laid you on my heart today. I'm praying that He covers you in His blood and hides you in His pavilion. The enemy is just as a roaring lion, but he is not a roaring lion. The Lion of Judah reigns. Keep doing what you are doing and rest in the safety of the Lord's arms and in the fact that you are in His will. The enemy knows you are being used to expose his lies that many have believed regarding marriage and family. God's purpose for marriage and family is being clearly declared and demonstrated through your message and your life. The Lord is your strong tower. Lord Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts, is his name. He is fighting for you, and victory is certain. Stand. Set your face like a flint. Ignore the arrows that whiz by your face. You will prevail against every attack of the enemy. The Lord lifts you above all those who rise up against you." And I do encourage that you read it's, and that statement was based on 2 Samuel, the 22nd chapter. It's written by King David, and it's a praise for God's deliverance. It's an awesome, awesome chapter, very encouraging. "You wrote a song a long time ago. Nobody will know, but God won't forget it. Those things done in secret, no fame or acclaim. Nobody will know, but you won't regret it. He's keeping a record of what's done in His name. Others don't understand that you're called to be under the radar right now, so to speak. Remember, you are all God's undercover secret weapons in the city, and lives are being changed one by one. Those changed lives will change others in that same interpersonal way of sharing the gospel and love of Christ, which you are so effective in doing. The strategy God has given you is working, and others can't understand how or why because it transcends tradition. But you are like the still, small voice of God in the midst of the whirlwind. And those whose ears are attuned and hungry for His word will hear and come to be healed." We did talk these past couple of weeks about being able to live in the center of a hurricane and being able to move with it. "Political rallies held to try to affect change in the city will have limited, if any, success, because the motive behind them is no longer to humbly gather just to cry out to God, but is instead to fight a spiritual battle with fleshly measures. The underlying motive is becoming known for a great work in the city. Or in other words, they just want to be famous, which is not really a great work, but just a numbers count. The success will not be able to be measured because the follow-up is lacking, and the people who are touched are not being shepherded, so they end up still lost. The traditional revival will not have much lasting impact because it has lost its genuine thirst for lost souls and has become just another form of Christian entertainment. Good singing and preaching, but no change in the city. God is working in your family because you are relationship pastors. You understand that success is nothing if your relationships are jacked up. And many in the city, particularly pastors, have jacked up relationships, but are too prideful to admit it or go to anyone for the help they desperately need. You are being used to demonstrate what God considers the most important factor in all of Harrisburg: godly marriage and godly family. Be still and don't fret about what others are saying or doing. God is going to protect your reputation and your name in the city during this season, because although you don't desire it, He is going to cause your name to be a magnet to those who are in broken relationships in the city. You will be like the Statue of Liberty declaring, "Bring me your lost and broken and discouraged." And like her torch, you will point them to the Most High, loving them through the process of healing, so that their lives will once again become fruitful. Be encouraged. And so we humbly receive this word of encouragement from this intercessor. And as we always tell you guys, we realize we're not the biggest, the best, or the most dynamic ministry called to work in Harrisburg. But we understand that we have a particular part to build. We just want to be faithful in doing our part. God touched this intercessor to send this word to encourage us to continue doing our part. And on that note, we're going to just pray. I want to pray this word. And I'm going to begin with Psalms 27 and 5. "For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret place of his tabernacle, he shall hide me. He shall set me high upon a rock." And Psalms 31 and 20 says, "You shall hide them in the secret place of your presence from the plots of man. You shall keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues." So, Lord, we thank you for hiding us in the secret place of your presence, from the plots of man and from the strife of tongues. As we rest in the safety of your arms, Lord, continue to use us to expose the lies that many have believed regarding marriage and family. God, continue to cause your purpose for marriage and family to be clearly declared and demonstrated through your word and our lives. Lord, you are our strong tower. You are the Lord of hosts, Lord Sabaoth. Thank you for fighting for us, which causes victory to be certain. We choose to stand and set our faces like a flint, and that's Isaiah 50 and 7. Lord, cause us to prevail against every attack of the enemy. Lift us above all those who rise up against us. Thank you for your strategy of working under the radar as your undercover secret weapons in the city. Cause us to continue effective interpersonal ministry for those whose ears are attuned and hungry for your word. And we ask that you heal them. Lord, cause us to always move in your strategies, to remember that our fight is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and wickedness in high places. Lord, thank you for your protection against every strategy of the enemy. Lord, thy kingdom come, your righteous rule and reign, your righteousness, your peace, your joy. Thy kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, in us and through us, in every area of our lives. Give us this day our daily bread, body, soul, spirit, socially, financially, mentally, emotionally. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, Lord. Help us not to be led by the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, or the pride of life, or by fear, rejection, or pride, or by selfishness or self-centeredness, or even by our own dreams, desires, or expectations, but to be led by your determination, by your purpose and destiny for our lives, by your word, by your spirit, by your peace, to be guided in life by your eyes, by your knowledge, your understanding, your wisdom, your direction, Lord, and help us to move in your timing. Lord, navigate us through each and every situation and circumstance that we encounter, and deliver us from evil, body, soul, spirit, socially, financially, mentally, and emotionally. For thine is the kingdom, again, your righteousness, peace, and joy. Thine is the power, Lord, you are omnipotent, you are all powerful, and thine is the glory. Lord, we can do nothing without you, nothing without you. You give us the strength and the ability to do your will. So all glory goes to you. Lord, we thank you for all these things, and we ask these things in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.
As we were thinking about what to share with everybody today, and this particular email, and this came from someone, she at the time she was living in North Carolina, she had no idea about what Harrisburg was like, anything. This was purely an intercessor, one of our intercessors writing us, sharing with us what God had put on her heart. And as you can read, as you have read, it nailed it. And we have continued moving in this word and moving in the instructions of the Lord that came through our bishop and through our brother Frank King. As you can see, God has been speaking consistently to us about why he sent us here and his strategy, which has been to stay under the radar. That's why I share with you guys these kinds of statistics, like talk about being under the radar. Hardly anybody still after 11 years knows we're here. And it's like, how do you stay in a place where all of nobody knows you're there? And it's because the goal is not to draw big crowds of people. Our daughter Tiffany is here today, and she can tell you the things that we did in St. Louis when our church was very small. Every summer we used to go to the streets, and we would go to particular corners or go to city parks, and we would do nothing but lift up praise and worship and intercession for the city. And we were going out every other week during the summer, go to a different corner, a different park, and wouldn't hardly be anybody there, not many people. And people didn't understand that, because normally if a church or a ministry goes out thinking they're trying to get a big crowd of people to come. Nope. We were not even there for the people. We were there strictly to intercede for the city. So we'd lift up praise and worship. Well, why are you singing and lifting up praise and worship? Why weren't we singing songs about evangelistic songs to win people to the Lord, songs to draw people to Christ? We were not there for that. Now, people did get saved. People did come. You know why? Because we were lit. It was simply God proving himself. He said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men. We were there praying for the city, lifting praise and worship to break up principalities and powers who had strongholds over the city in different sections of the city. So we've been here all this time, meeting week after week. And what do we come in here and do? We intercede and we pray. And there's hardly anybody's here week after week. Does that mean we're not effective? No, it means we're doing our assignment. Our assignment is to come and to pray, to come and lift up praise and worship. There's a lot of stuff that's being lifted up to God today all over this city. And not all of it is pleasing to him. There are a lot of Cain offerings that are coming up before the Lord today. I'm not saying we're the only ones that are lifting up Abel, but there's a lot of Cain offerings. Why was Cain's offering not accepted? Because it was him offering up to God what he wanted to offer, not what God required. God said, I require a blood sacrifice. Cain gathered up all his stuff and said, I'm giving to God what my works. He offered up his crops and his harvest and stuff. Here, you better take it. And many people, they unknowingly do that. They offer up to God what they want to offer, and they expect God to receive it because they sacrificed. But what does his word say? Obedience is better than sacrifice. A lot of people offering up sacrifices, but it's not done in obedience. So Abel's offering was received because what? It was done in obedience. You know, obedience will require a sacrifice, but not all sacrifices are obedience. Right. Let me say that again. Obedience will require a sacrifice, but not all sacrifices are given in obedience. A lot of sacrifices are done as, this is what I'm offering you, God, and you better take it because I sacrificed. Again, more of that stuff that us TV preachers then told, just give God a sacrifice and he's going to dump the, no. Give God obedience, because there's going to be sacrifice when you obey God. So we have raised the, again, I keep coming back to the, these last 30, 40 years across this country, we have raised a generation in the church that just thinks God's supposed to just take what I give him. And you know, I mean, it's almost with this attitude, you better take it. Hmm. And God's like, no. That's strange fire to me. Uh-huh. Did you know that when they offered up those things to God stipulated every single animal, all of the incense, even the ingredients. Uh-huh. Then told people what they had to wear when they bring the offerings. Uh-huh. You got to wear this all the way down to their underwear. God is something else. It's like, ain't nobody gonna even see that. Why does it matter? Because it matters to God. Yeah. So he's had us here all of this time, and he's been dealing with us at those levels about what nobody can see. Can we keep coming out here after 11 years, and still keep offering a sacrifice, still keep interceding, still keep declaring that God wants godly marriage and family, even though we're in a city, even though we're in a region of the country where marriages and families have been so devastated that the last thing people want to talk about is marriage and family, because marriage is where I had my worst hurt. Family is where I had my greatest pain. So I don't want to go to no ministry that's going to touch on the very thing that is the hardest for me to deal with right now. But God says, I want it there. Mm-hmm. I want it there. Why? Because at some point in time, somebody is going to say, it's time for me to deal with it. Mm-hmm. And then he wants somebody there that could help them deal with it. Mm-hmm. Woo! That's how faithful God is. Mm-hmm. And so he calls us to be faithful. It's almost like those doctors and those specialists that hardly ever have any patients, because whatever is their specialty, it's a rare disease that hardly anybody ever gets. But they still go and get all the training, put in all the preparation, so that one day if I happen to have a patient that contracts this rare disease, then somebody's there to deal with it. Wow. Now, it's not that this is a rare disease, but it's a disease that nobody wants to acknowledge. Or very few people want to acknowledge, or very few are even ready for it. Dr. Vanessa Battle, who was here last week from Georgia, God has her on a 50-nation tour, basically the entire United States. 50-state tour. Thank you, dear. A 50-state tour, going through the entire, the whole country, preaching about the role that Africans and African Americans have in the big scheme of things in the Bible and in the kingdom. So it's a powerful message that she's releasing and going and taking to our nation. But she had an interesting kind of preface for it. She said one of her overseers, who is Cindy Jacobs, some of you know her, she said Cindy said to her, Vanessa, Dr. Vanessa, who is black, Cindy Jacobs is white. Cindy says to Dr. Vanessa, "It's too white around here. You need to bring some more black people, to come into their organization or their intercessory prayer movement." And Dr. Vanessa's answer was very, very wise. She said, "You're not ready for us yet, and we're not ready either. Because of the level of unity that we must walk in, that my people need to be healed." There's still some healing that still needs to take place in the African Americans before they're ready to take their place. And that word was so encouraging to us because we realize that's part of what's happening in Harrisburg. There are some people, they're not ready for this message yet. Even the things that I've said to you today, they're not ready for that. Because right now, they say everything, a lot of what I've said, they feel offended. How dare you say, "I'm just giving out of selfishness"? Well, okay, I have to let the Holy Spirit show you. Because if you'll take it as if though I'm accusing you and that I'm preaching a message of condemnation. And so I have to wait for the Holy Spirit to show you how all the times you've given just to receive. Why? Because that's what the preacher told you to do. And so it's locked up into your whole way of thinking. So God has to open it up to you. God has to show you that the reason why you don't want to talk about marriage is because of your broken marriage. God wants to show you the reason why you don't want to talk about family is because your family was horrible and your upbringing was horrible. God has to bring you to a place where you're ready. That's why I don't want to put her on the spot. That's why we love Mom's testimony. when we first came and God touched her deep in her spirit. You know why he was able to do that? Because she was ready. And Mom has that kind of a spirit. She's just like, "God, whatever you want, whatever you want." She's still that way to this day. "Whatever you want, God, whatever it's going to take." And everybody's not there. Mm-hmm. So God still will have us be faithful. Come out there every week. Keep posting those videos. Keep hammering it. Keep hammering that wall. Keep hitting that wall, because at some point there's going to be a bust through. There's going to be breakthrough. And somebody's going to say, "You know what? I'm tired of pretending that everything in my life is okay. I'm tired of putting on the front to all of my church friends that everything is okay, and it's not. I'm tired of living one way in this building and completely different when I go to work, and completely different when I'm at school, and completely different when I'm in the neighborhood. I want to be the same person no matter where I am." Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so God's raising up ministries like ours, and he's sending people like us into this region. And so that when the light starts coming on and the light bulb starts coming on, and I love that prophetic word that came through Pastor Frank King, and because we're watching that happen in Harrisburg right now. Mm-hmm. Think about that. That word was 2012, and he talked about this becoming an emerging city, and God was going to relocate people here. And what has happened, even for us here, we have folks that come here from Michigan and Ohio, and we're watching all these new buildings and all these housing developments coming up everywhere, even where we're living. That place didn't exist at the time that word was spoken. Yeah. All of a sudden, new banks and new facilities and expanding the highways. And it's like, oh, my God, this stuff really is happening. And also what's happening is people are coming here from New York and Baltimore and Virginia and St. Louis and Chicago and Detroit, and they're moving here and are coming here with those hurts and with those pains and with those issues. They're also coming here from different parts of the world. And they're coming here with their issues, with their problems, with their pain. And at some point, they're going to cry out to God and say, I need help. And God will be able to direct them to those of us who he has sent here and say, go there. They've got the help that you need. And he's preparing us so that when they get here, we don't chase them out the door. We don't drive them out. Because when they come here, they're not going to act like us. They're not going to act like Harrisburgers. They're not going to talk like Harrisburgers. They're not going to be South Central Pennsylvania Dutch. They're not. They're going to be like our neighbors down there. They're going to be loud. We're going to think of them as being loud and unruly and ungodly. But he'll position you there. He'll position us. And that's what we believe he's done with us. He's kept us under the radar, but we're just trusting him that he will, that he has us in the right place at the right time for the right people. Wow. Bless the Lord. Come on, give the Lord a hand today. Bless you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord.